The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. On today's episode, we have a special treat for you. We're beginning a two-part series with special guest Brent Lamb, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. Now, before we get to that, I'd like to remind you about all of the great free resources that we have available on our website, faithalone.org. I'll come back at the end to tell you more about that. But as for now, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and Brent Lamb. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar, and I'm here with
Bob Wilkin.
And we have a special guest
today.
Who
would that be?
He walked into the offices, and we just said, hey, let's get him to sit down and do a show.
You say to him, would you like to do some radio with us? He said, great. When? And what was your answer, Sean?
Like, right now.
Right now.
Would you introduce yourself? This is...
Yeah, Brent Lamb.
Brent, so good to see you, and yeah. I'm so glad you're in the office here, because we've talked a few times. We've gone out to lunch, and I've really enjoyed my time with you. You have such an interesting story, a story of how God... How did you explain your story in a
You're 15, 18 story.
I believed Jesus for eternal life at 15, and then I gave him my life and made him Lord at 18.
So tell us a bit, where are you from?
I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, so the music. Yeah, you had to be in music. I mean, that is the place for music. And indeed, that's what you ended up going into.
I did. My dream and my will for my life was to be an architect.
Okay.
And me and my cousin were going to go to Auburn and be architects and make a lot of money and give it to the kingdom. And I got called to ministry my senior year of high school, and I didn't tell anybody.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't want to do that.
Right.
My whole family played music. My dad had toured. My granddad played bluegrass music with Bill Monroe, who's...
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was like, I knew the Lord was wanting me to use my music, and I didn't tell anybody. And my parents went to a new grocery store one night. And when they walked in, there was a sign that said, Christian rock band needs lead singer.
Okay.
And then it had the little strips with the number you took, like... puppies and used boats and cars. You know?
Yeah.
And my dad comes home and he says, hey, you might want to call this. This band's looking for, that's the music you like, you know, and you've been saved 3 years and you're into that. Maybe this is what you want to do. And I was like, no, I'm going to college.
Wait a second. This is the reverse of what usually happens, right?
I hope no teenagers are listening. Because I think I'm the only time it's ever happened. When your dad says, don't go to college, join a rock
band. Yeah, don't go to college to be an architect, son.
No.
Get on that tour bus.
And so I started crying, and I knew I was God. And so my dad said, what's happening? What's all the emotion? I told him, and he said, son, if you start running from the Lord now, you'll run the rest of your life.
Oh, interesting.
So I got on a tour bus in 78, and I got off the tour bus in 2003.
Wow.
So I have a 12th grade education. Never went to college. I did Christian music, and then I switched to country music. Did that until 03 and retired and started mentoring young artists and writers. Moved to California and was at a camp there to start like a mentoring thing for artists and stuff. And that's what I was doing in my home. And I told them I'd give them 2 years. I stayed four. And then we were getting ready to go back to Nashville. And the church I was going to in Fresno said, hey, we need a worship pastor. And I remember the pastor saying, would you pray about being on staff? And I said, probably not. I'm not going to pray about it. And he's like, really? And so we ended up being worship pastor. My first church pastorate as a worship director pastor was 4,500 people with three campuses.
Oh,
that was my introduction.
That's huge. Wow, what an introduction.
So I did that 2 years. Then I moved to Dallas in 2010, started a management company for Shane & Shane and Carrie Jobe and some of those people. After 2 years of that, I was looking for a church, obviously.
Yeah.
Found Capel Bible Fellowship in Capel. And they were looking. And so I left the management and became the worship pastor at Capel Bible.
Right. And by the way, Bob is attending Capel Bible and teaching a Sunday school class there.
Yeah, I like it there. It's a neat church, a neat staff. You have some awards in country music and Christian music, both.
Well, see, I wanted to ask about that. You just totally skipped over all of that.
But you were, right?
Okay, I need to ask a question. So you were on the road for a long time as a
25
musician.
Years, yeah.
What was that like as a Christian on the road? Were you married? Were you able to get married?
Yeah, I got married at 23. So it has to do with what your goals are and who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And so I had three guys that I met with every Thursday morning. And we started out as young husbands and dads. And like, are you scared? Yeah, I'm scared. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And so we wrote down three things that were in our lives that were the most important that we would do whatever it took to protect those. So mine was my walk with the Lord, my marriage, and my children.
Mm-hmm.
So career was never part of that. That's how I made money, and that's how I made a living. If you come to the AT&T Center and see me, you think I'm famous. That's not reality. My wife always called it the Land of Oz.
Yeah.
It's just not real. You know,
yeah.
I would be playing to thousands of people and riding in limos, and then I would come home from a run, and she would hand me the plunger and go, it's the upstairs with this guy. That's reality.
That's reality.
But I had guys that loved me and just said, look, I have to protect my walk with the Lord. I have to protect my marriage and my kids. And so when you have that in mind and you know that your identity is not attached to what you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell these young musicians and young pastors, never let what you do become who you are, because if that changes, you won't know who you are.
Okay. So this I want to ask you this question, because I love what you just said. That's not the reality. I think a lot of Christians, because we live in a celebrity culture, now it's even easier for people to put themselves on YouTube or TikTok, and they want to be minor celebrities themselves. My question to you is, did you ever find satisfaction in that? Because you had success as a musician. Didn't you tell me you had, what was...
Grammy Awards, yeah.
Yeah, we have some awards. I've got some
awards. Tell me, what awards did you win?
I started out as a songwriter.
Yeah.
So my goal, in my mind as a young kid, I was like, my goal is to reach the big time.
Yeah.
And the way I defined that was a number one song, a gold record.
Yeah.
And maybe a Dove Award or a Grammy or an ACM or a CMA, like some kind of trophy.
Yes.
Well, by 40 years old, I had all those.
You wow. did?
Multiples, yeah.
So you've had gold records.
I've got 5 gold records that I was a part of.
And you got a Grammy as well?
I joined a country band.
Yeah.
And with that band had 3 Grammys, 5 gold records from that.
Wow.
And 13 number one songs.
All right, so now tell me, did you find your satisfaction in those earthly rewards?
No, entertainment is wonderful. If you like to be entertained, and if you like to entertain people, it's great. And it pays really, really well. But there's no eternal value in it.
Yeah.
And so as I was doing ministry this whole time and having this success, I actually had a plaque over the front window of my bus. And I would look at that every time I went off to go to the stage. And it said, it's only glamorous if you're not doing it. And then I have that rule, that Brentism is what my kids call it. You know, it's never let what you do become who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I remember Zane Hodges taught us at seminary, at Dallas Seminary. We came to James 4:4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. And he said, look, if you want to have the world love you and recognize you as one of the great people, you're going to compromise so much that you won't be a friend of God.
Exactly.
And that applies to just exactly what you're talking about here, because so many people who tour end up losing their marriage, losing their family, losing their walk with the Lord, and they end up not being a friend of God. But you were able to do that and use this to the glory of God because of what you were able to earn. Plus, like you say, you mentored people who were going through the same process, right?
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you this question. So the fame you didn't find, you know, kind of that satisfaction in, but you had a cool job, though. It used your talents. So was that like all of us need to work to support a family, to support our marriages? And so was it at least that fulfilling, doing what you loved?
Yes, but it didn't last. Well, especially when you're called to ministry. So I was being paid to entertain.
Yeah.
But like I led my keyboard guy to Christ.
Wow.
I led a couple of crew guys to Christ.
Wow.
And like salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Those guys never wanted to talk about the Lord or get their question answered at 3 in the afternoon. It was always 3 in the morning while they're sleeping.
Yeah.
Never convenient.
Wow.
But yeah, we had a real ministry for that. And then because of my trophies and my, you know, who I was, a lot of young people that come to Nashville, they would try to meet people, and people at my church, and people would say, you need to talk to Brent Lamb. Of course, by then I was Papa Lamb, which is what I am to my grandkids now.
Yeah, okay.
They're like, you need to talk to Papa Lamb. He has a pastor's heart, and he's still married to his first wife, and his kids don't regret him or God because he's always gone. And so I accredit that to my parents, first of all, but then being smart enough to surround myself with some older men that say, you know, we love you and we know you, So we're not impressed with what you do. We're,
right.
You know, we're not impressed with Brent Lamb.
Yeah.
We love Brent.
Yes.
Now, by the way, this reminds me of your comment earlier about no eternal value in the entertainment per se. And I would emphasize the per se, because there is eternal value if you're using this as a platform to lead people in your group to Christ,
yeah,
to mentor people, and also to influence the people you're singing to and you're writing music for.
Yeah.
That was ministry for 25 years,
yeah,
right? In,
yeah,
a sense.
Yeah, exactly. It, you have to keep asking yourself, why am I doing this? What, like, I want God to use me. So it's like, Lord, I don't know if this is your perfect will for me to do this or not, but it's like, so I always look at it as, if I do this, can God get glory?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I thought, he can,
mm-hmm,
you know.
That's a spiritual mindset. Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do your work heartily, mm-hmm, as unto the Lord, rather than for men.
I mean, you love the audience, but they're, you know, they're yelling, I love you. We love you.
It's like, yeah, you don't know.
I could show you some people that love me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
if I have a relative die, the people who love me, that's who's going to come to my house.
And, right, mm-hmm, right.
You don't love me.
Yeah.
You love what I do.
Right.
Now, I've known you only for a little while, but I could tell right away that you have a gift of discipleship. I definitely could tell that right away, and I see that in your life. You're going to start a ministry, isn't that right, on YouTube? Can you tell us just very briefly what that's going,
yeah,
to be,
well,
about?
Yeah, well, this is going to be prefaced with Lord willing. Yeah, we're going to start a thing called God Man Stuff, and it'll be at first, monthly kind of podcast show on YouTube and audio, exactly what you guys do, which I'm so grateful for you guys, because you guys ride to work with me. Awesome. So we're going to keep it short like you do, talking with men about God stuff and about man stuff and then just stuff.
Yeah.
I love woodworking, and so we're going to talk about tools and what I, you know.
Love it.
So I just can't have everybody come to my house, and so, you know, my daughter says, Dad, just do a podcast and then everybody can listen. It's like being at our house. It's like,
well, we're so glad that you came here to share this time with us, and be on the lookout for God Man Stuff. That's Brent Lamb. Check out his music. Be blessed by it. I'm blessed by it when I hear him worship at Capel Bible Fellowship.
Amen.
That's a good church for you to visit if you're in the Dallas area too. All right, guys, thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Keep grace in focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle-free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated, because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to continue the story of Brent Lamb. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.